This morning we are coming to a conclusion in our series, It's All About Jesus, where today we're going to be taking a look at Colossians chapter 4, and then next week George will be taking us through the last part of Colossians chapter 4. Now, as we begin, there's a few things that I'd like to share with you. By following along, if by showing of hands you'd like a Bible, the ushers would be glad to get you one because we will be looking at Scripture this morning. And the other way is inside the church bulletin. There is a half-sheet outline if you'd like to follow along that way as well. In our series, we have said there has been a main theme to It's All About Jesus. And we said all throughout our teachings here is that in Christ, we are complete and we live for his greatness. And we found that theme from the passage of Scripture in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, that says, "So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." One of the other things that we have stated in our series is that Jesus is enough. And so wherever you are in that, my prayer today is that you will hear God's words to each and every one of us so that what has already been prayed, that we can live lives that are continuing to be transformed by the power of God. In our series over the last couple of weeks, we've been challenged with a couple of questions. Our first question that we were asked 2 weeks ago was, whose kingdom are you living for? And we learned that for those of us who made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ is that we live for God's kingdom because we are hidden in Christ. Last week we were asked the question, who or what is ruling your heart? And we saw that in the passage in Colossians chapter 3 is that we let, we submit, we allow, we give permission for the peace of Christ to rule our hearts. And as we begin this morning, how many of you are familiar with an older cartoon called Animaniacs? Okay, a couple of you. The rest of you, well, that's okay. I'm going to tell you, it was just a cartoon. But what was really cool about the cartoon wasn't the Animaniacs, but the segment called Good Idea, Bad Idea. And if you're not familiar with that, they would have little sketches that said, good idea, playing cops and robbers with your friends. Bad idea, playing cops and robbers in a bank with your friends. Or one that was, you know, good idea, throwing a penny in a well to make a wish. Bad idea, throwing your cousin penny into a well to make a wish. Now, as I thought about that, I remember my brother and my sister and I, when we were kids, had a good idea, bad idea moment. The good idea was is that we decided to go play circus out in the backyard. Unbeknownst to my parents, we went and got the ladder, and I decided that I was going to do the high wire act. And so I climbed up the ladder, and it was probably a good 6 to 7 feet in the air, and I got onto the limb of the tree. Literally, I could hold on to it. And so as my legs were flailing, I kicked the ladder over. And I said to my brother, I said, please put the ladder back up. I'm getting a little scared. And he's like, no, you can climb down. Bad idea, listening to my brother's advice. And so I not even did this, and I went straight down. Bam, hit the ground. There I was, laying in just a heap. And so my sister goes running into the house screaming that I was dead, and my brother was standing there. He's like, cool, you know? And so I'm writhing in pain, and it was the result of that was that I had a cast put on my left arm and my right leg. And the reason why I share that good idea, bad idea moment, it brings us to our message here this morning, which is entitled Wise Up, Living the Message of Jesus. We're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. If you're following along your outlines, the main idea that we want to see here this morning when we talk about living the name of Jesus is this, is that living the message of Jesus is living wisely. Living the message of Jesus is living wisely. For many of us, we do not have a problem with choosing right from wrong in any situation that we come into. Now, sometimes we don't choose the right things, but most of the time, we know how to choose right from wrong. But what we want to do this morning is look at, it goes beyond choosing right from wrong, but it's asking the question in every situation of our lives is, what is the wise thing to do? What is the wise thing to do? And as we look at our passage of Scripture this morning, Paul is now coming to a close in his letter to the Colossian church. In chapters 1, 2, and 3, what we saw was that Paul spoke to the new Christians at Colossae about the supremacy of Christ, that Jesus was enough. And now as he's coming to a close, he's writing to them further instructions on how to live their Christian life in the world that is around them. And what we're going to see here is that he shares three things that we can add into our lives to live out our Christian lives. Now, what you're going to hear this morning, you may say that's very familiar, that's simple, but many times it's easier said than done. And what I don't want for us to do is the things that we hear today is that it's an obligation or it's a legalistic thing. I want us to see that by faith in Jesus Christ, and it is the power of his Holy Spirit who works in us to help us accomplish these things in our lives as we live out his message. So let's take a look together at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, we're going to be looking again at verses 2 through 6. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. It begins in verse 2. It says, "Devote yourselves to prayer and being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." And so what I want to begin with is two definitions. The first definition is the definition of wisdom. Now, what we see about wisdom, these definitions are coming from a biblical perspective. So the definition that we have today of wisdom is an understanding of what is right and true from God's view and doing something about it. So once again, it's seeing how is life lived from God's perspective, and that is wisdom when we do something about it. What we see here is that wisdom is one of the greatest tools that God gives us if we ask of it. If you remember back in the fall, we had a series on King Solomon, and the one thing he asked was for God's wisdom. He wanted to know how to live life God's way. See, when we live wise, we end up living proactive lives. Now, the opposite of wisdom is foolishness. And by definition, we see that foolishness is knowing right from wrong and choosing wrong and not even caring. And many times what we do is that when myself make foolish decisions, sometimes I base that on my emotions. And what we see is that foolishness does not come from God. And when we live foolish lives, we live oblivious to the world that is around us. One of the questions that we can ask ourselves is this: who is a model of wisdom in my life? Who is a model of wisdom in my life? For me, I have several men in my life who I see as models of wisdom, that I know that I can go to them when I need godly counsel on how to be a man of God, a father, a husband, a friend, even a youth pastor. Who is a model of wisdom in your life? And the same is that the things in my life or people in my life that I look and say, wow, that's just foolishness. Why am I a part of that? If there's things that I see in my life that are foolishness, why am I a part of that? So it's who is a model of wisdom in my life, and why am I a part of foolishness? The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26, it says, "Those who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe." We're kept safe as followers of Christ when we trust in God over ourselves, when we believe his word, we believe his promises that he has given us. And what God does for us, it goes beyond keeping us safe physically. He keeps us safe emotionally. He keeps us safe from guilt, from regret, and even emotional scars. But what we see when we choose to live the message of Jesus wisely is that it begins with a desire to do so. we have to have that desire to want to live the message of Jesus. And once again, that begins by believing that it's Christ who works in you, who can help you to do that as you participate in his active work in your life. So we see that we talk about living the message of Jesus as living wisely. What we also see in our scripture here this morning in verses 2 through 4 is that this all begins with dedication to prayer. Living the message of Jesus begins with dedication to prayer. We see that Paul here gives the church at Colossae two words, watchful and thankful. He says, be watchful. He's saying, be persistent in your prayer. It's this idea of be on guard and watch for God to work. Watch for God to bring out the best in our lives for his glory and for our good. You see, many of us, maybe, I know even in my own life, are praying persistently for situations in my own life or in relationships that I have, and praying and watching for God to do his work. And we need to understand that God will sometimes say yes, sometimes he'll tell us no, and other times he'll tell us, you just wait because I'm working in that situation, not just you. And so he's asking and he's telling us to live a life of persistent prayer. Not only that, Paul says, be thankful. Have an attitude of appreciation. Not just an attitude like, thanks God for what you did, but really just being thankful when we go to him. Thanking him ultimately for what he did on the cross. And being not just the attitude of appreciation, but going to him again, believing that he will answer in his time and in his way. And we're thankful for that. So he says, be watchful, be thankful. Paul also asks in verses 2 through 4, he asks them to pray for him. He says, listen, I'm in prison. Remember, we started back in May that he was in prison. Well, he still is. And he says, listen, I am in chains for sharing the mystery of the gospel. Pray for those of us who are sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul saw that the cause was greater than his own personal agenda. He says again, may I proclaim it clearly, the mystery of Christ. As we've gone throughout our series here in Colossians, we have learned that the mystery of Christ, the secret, has been revealed. That revelation was when God revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, it says, he, who Paul is speaking of Christ, is the image of the invisible God. Not only that, Paul says in chapter 1, verse 26, he said, secret's out. Guess what? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the secret has been revealed, but yet again, he even asked, please pray for us that we would be people who share the mystery of the gospel. Not only that, pray that we remain faithful to God. And so what we see is that when Paul speaks of this gospel, this good news of Jesus Christ, I've been doing some reading with my classes, and one of the things that have stuck out to me is the event of Christ's death and his significance. And so why I share that with you is because over the past several months, even in our national news, we have had the Penn State scandal. We've had the event of the Aurora, Colorado movie theater shootings. Those are the events. But imagine the significance of those events. What is next for the University of Penn State? What does that look like? Imagine the significance of the event of the shootings. We see the horror of it. We read about the tragedy of it. But yet we're not the ones there looking for our children or wondering why it ever happened. You see, when we look at the event of the death of Christ, it was something that happened in that day and time. People were crucified for being criminals. They were crucified for going against the government. That's the event of the crucifixion. But its significance is that God himself became a man, and he came to die for the sins of humankind. That's significant. And not only that, it's not just the event of the resurrection, but it's the significance that the power of God rose him from the dead And it was so significant that he entered into a room and one of his disciples, who we call Doubting Thomas, said, "My Lord and my God." I get it. So when we live the event of the crucifixion, many times we end up being legalistic. Many times we begin to live the message of Jesus out of obligation. But if we understand his significance and what Christ has done for us, it makes a world of difference. That we will want to live the message of Jesus and live it in such a way that God receives all the glory and that he has continued to grow us for his good. Amen? Amen. So what I want to do is just take some time and look at verses 5 and 6 together. I want to take a few moments and talk about living wise in a fool's world. Living wise in a fool's world. Now, remember, we're looking at wisdom and foolishness from a biblical perspective. So we're not doing any name calling here. We're just saying, what does it look like for us to live out the message of Jesus in this world? Well, what we see here is that we live the message of Jesus by living wise in how we act. We live wise in how we act. In verse 5, Paul gives a statement. He says, "Make the most of every opportunity." In other words, he's saying, the time that you have, make the most of it. Because, see, Paul was telling these new Christians that there are outsiders. What he was referring to was those who have not made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. And he says, make the most of your time in how you act. You see, remember, these new Christians were under heavy persecution. As we have shared before, there was Paul in jail. There were ways that they tortured or persecuted in other ways. And so what we understand is that Paul is saying, make the most of your time around those who don't know Jesus. In the midst of all that, right? Yes. In the midst of maybe even being drugged in the streets? Yes. Beaten? Yes. Thrown in jail? Yes. Death? Yes. Make the most of your time. You know, it's very interesting because when we live wise by how we act. In other words, what I want to say is that there are things in the world that are exciting. They are alluring. And sometimes we'll blame those things. Well, if that just wasn't on TV, or if that just wasn't on the internet, or if this situation. No, it's how we act, how we respond to it. We make the most of that time. And when you and I live wise in how we act, it gives us the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ to those who are around us. So when we live wise in how we act, the good idea here is this. We embrace the moment. We embrace the moment. In other words, we have a strategy for how we will respond to any situation that comes our way. And the bad idea is that we make Jesus look ridiculous. The bad idea here is that we make Jesus look ridiculous. And if we choose to live wisely, then we want to take time to learn how not to get caught up in the moment. You know, my family and I are flying down to Florida next month, and when I get on the plane, I'm not going to the cockpit and saying, "Move out of the way, I'm flying us down to Orlando." It's not gonna work that way. Because that pilot, the co-pilot, the navigator, the flight attendants, guess what? They have had specific training on how to make sure that plane flies, gets to his destination. That pilot is making checks on the plane. People are checking on the outside, making sure everything is all right. Now, there are times where things are out of that pilot's control, but yet he has been trained to know how to respond ahead of time. See, when we live the message of Jesus and live wise in how we act, we're proactive. We're not reactive. We don't live in the moment. We don't make Jesus look ridiculous. We choose to know how to respond because the truth is that there are people who are watching us live the message of Jesus Christ. And we may live in such a way, and I'm guilty of this in my own life at times, where they say, if that's Christianity, if that's following Jesus, I'm going to do my own thing, thank you very much, and I'm going to hope for the best. And then we're like, what? So what we want to remember is that we live the message of Jesus when we live wise in how we act. Paul said this in another letter to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. So imagine, so long ago, Paul saying the days are evil then. Don't you think the days are evil now? And if the days are evil now, we see these things happening in our world. And George, I agree with you. There is no better person than the person of Christ to bring healing and redemption to this land. Bottom line, nothing more, nothing less. And so that's the life that I want to live, that his cause is greater than my agenda. You know, as parents, I tell our kids that what we teach you here at home, the things of God and how to live your life in practical and wise ways, once you leave home, you represent the family name. You represent that family name well. And so for you and I who have professed a faith in Jesus Christ, guess what? We represent the family of God. How do we want to represent that family of God? Do we want to represent it in a way that embarrasses him? Or do we want to represent it in a way where people are so attracted to the gospel in the person of Jesus Christ? So the question that we ask is this. Where would you need to put caution tape around situations in your life? Where would you need to put caution tape around situations in your life? In other words, if you enter into a situation and in your mind's eye you see caution tape, are triggers going off to say, that may not be the best thing to do? That may not be the best thing to get involved with? Or that may cause me to disobey God? What areas of our lives do we need to put caution tape around? So we live wise by living with no regrets. We live wise by not living with a bad reputation, because once again, others are watching us live the message of Jesus. The second is this, is that we live the message of Jesus when we live wise in what we say. We live the message of Jesus when we live wise in what we say. Paul is saying here that let your conversation with others be pleasant. And he says, full of grace. Not only that, he says, seasoned with salt. Now, what is salt used for? I don't use salt on anything. You can ask my family. But what is salt used for when you eat? Any seasoning. Did you know back in that day and time, salt was used to preserve food? Salt was used to slow down the process of food going bad because no refrigerators, right? So they had to use salt to preserve their food. The reason why I share that is sometimes when we live wise in what we say, it's not saying anything at all. We use wisdom and we listen deeply. We know when to speak, and when that happens, it shows the world a powerful testimony of the gospel. So our good idea here in living wise in what we say is that we speak the truth in love. We speak the truth in love. In other words, we want to let our words protect our relationships. And the bad idea is speaking before thinking. Speaking before thinking. Guilty. You know, you ever have that moment when it's like, oh boy, I shouldn't have said that. Nobody? Okay, I must be the only one, George. Okay, so here's the thing, and then that moment it comes out and you're just like, oh, I just hurt the very person that I've been trying to live such an exemplary life of Christ before. Or I've hurt that person deeply, and there has to be trust built again. So we live wise in what we say. We live without guilt by what we say. The Bible says also in Ephesians 4:29, it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You saw a group of teenagers and adults who are going to be headed to Lewiston-Auburn, Maine. Lewiston-Auburn, Maine is about 35% Somalian refugees. Lewiston-Auburn, Maine is 15% of that city is below the poverty line. And I share that with you because I need for all of you to pray that we have an opportunity to proclaim the message of Christ. But not only that, you know what? We can live wise in what we say by maybe doing this. Instead of saying, well, you know, you need Jesus because we're going to deal with cultural, religious, socioeconomic backgrounds that are different from ours. And so instead of saying, you need Jesus, maybe it's saying, you know what, can I get you something else to eat when we work at the soup kitchens? Maybe it's instead of you need Jesus, how about can I give you a little hug to a child who is a part of a kids camp? Or maybe it's instead of you need Jesus, maybe it's I just want to listen to your story of how you came here to America. Maybe that's it. Because in our hearts, we know that the world does need a Savior. We know that the world does need to be redeemed by the power of Jesus Christ. But yet, what if we did that? And it gives us the opportunity to share the greatest joy in our life. And we live for Him out of love and not out of obligation. So the question that we can ask when it comes to living wise in what we say is that when we open our mouths, are we a benefit to others? When we open our mouths, are we a benefit to others? Living wise by what we say brings us to a place where we don't go, oh, I shouldn't have said that moment. But we are protecting and we are preserving the relationships that are in our circle of influence, where we work, where we go to school, where we do extracurricular activities, in personal relationships, in family. And so we want to be people who genuinely protect our relationships. So we've seen here what Paul has taken these verses. And Paul says, listen, have the desire to live for Christ. And then he says, you know what? Be persistent when you pray. Pray and ask God to give you the opportunities to live the message of the gospel. And then, you know what? Live by God's point of view in your head and in your heart when it comes to how you act and what you say. You know, I stated at the beginning that we have said that Jesus is enough in this series. So the question that we can ask ourselves, if Jesus is enough, do I really have the desire to live His message? If Jesus is enough, am I representing Him in a way that puts a smile on His face by how I act and by what I say? And if Jesus is not enough for you today, do you see your need for Him? Do you see that apart from Him, it's nothing? Sure, you may have all this stuff here on earth, but at the end of the day, we realize it is Christ who has made us right with His Father when we believe that God has done a miraculous work in the cross, in His death, in His burial, and His resurrection. Remember, the significance of His death was to die for the sins of humankind, and the significance of His resurrection was to bring eternal life. That's where I want to be. I want to live the message of Jesus that is above my agenda, above my priorities, above what I want. And if that's where you are this morning, I'll encourage you to take time with one of the elders or myself. Because that's where you may be. You may want to say, hey, I got a lot of caution tape. You know what? Actually, I got a lot of crime scene tape around situations in my life. But I want to live by God's way. And I need help to do so. Don't let today go by and just think that, yeah, well, I'll get it next week. Jesus is looking for us to follow Him today. You know, the Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter 3:15, such a powerful verse. And he sums up what we have been talking about this morning. Here's what he says. He says, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Good idea. Call out to God and live wisely. Bad idea? Continue to live our lives with a different message. What would our lives look like if we truly lived the message of Jesus? Not out of obligation, not out of here's what I got to do, but out of a realization of what He's done for us. Not only that, let's create a culture that lives the message of Jesus in how we act and what we say. Not only that, it begins with a desire, persistent prayer, and living wisely. Because when others see that and they say, is that Christianity? Is that what being a follower of Jesus is? That's what I want. This is all possible when we set apart Christ as Lord of our lives. And not only that, we dedicate ourselves to God and ask Him to not only show us, but give us the strength and the courage to do so. Let's pray. Father, this morning as we conclude listening to your word, I just think of the words that have been sung today. I give you my heart. I give you my everything. My desire is to make your name great. Yet, Lord, I know in my own life, even this week, I've decided that my plans and my agenda were better. Yet, God, what we see in your word is there was a man who was completely transformed by the power of your Holy Spirit. And it took him to a place where he said, the cause of Christ is greater. Even though I am in chains here, please pray that I can continue to proclaim this message louder and louder. God, we live in a world today that we see events that happen. And Lord, we, quite honestly, we live safe. And yet, what you've done for us, sometimes we forget. And we think that coming to church is out of obligation. And living this Christian life is a have to. Yet, God, forgive us for our complacency. God, forgive us for just being people who, including myself, say one thing and do the other. Lord, your words have rang clear. You have told us to live wise in the way that we act and the things that we say. Help us with that, Lord. May your spirit work in our hearts. God, may the time that we spend with you be about transformation and not just information. Thank you for the cross, Lord, and the significance of what you have done for us. May we not take that for granted, but understand that freedom is truly in you. And so we give these things to you, Father, believing that you will answer in your time and in your way. For your glory and for all that you have done, we ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.